I just couldn't stop. I regretted it as soon as I come around, I hated it. I just hate the way I was feeling, just massive headache in the morning. I just don't want to feel like this. But just what it's given me now, it's given me the ability to sit here and talk to you. I wouldn't be able to do that before. I wouldn't be able to sit still. And that's what it's given me. I can talk to people, I can try and help people. And I could be honest. Being honest was the best thing I've ever done. Being honest with myself and being honest with other people. And being honest with a person that I can trust. I can be there for my girlfriend. It sounds mad. I can sit there and just do normal things. I couldn't do that before. As soon as I get in from work, she'd be like, do you want to do this? No, I'm going to the pub to watch the snooker. When I knew I was going out, I just drop my bag off, get changed and go.
Yeah.
No time for her, just so selfish and self-centred, all cared about to myself.
How is she now with it?
Yeah, she's good. But she was lying in bed the other day and she was like, this is all I ever wanted. And I bought all the bags of things and all that don't matter.
Yeah.
It means nothing. All she wanted was me to be there for her. And now I can do that.
Hi everybody, welcome back to This Is Powerful with me, Paul Scolfo. In this podcast, I will speak to some incredible people about mindset, mental health, addiction and recovery, and I'll share my own story throughout these conversations. We are well and truly in season 5 of the show, and we're doing a mini-series focused on youth and addiction. We speak to some really inspirational young people about how they personally have been affected by addiction and recovery, and some who have been surrounded by the addiction of others as a young person. We also speak with professionals who are working in the addiction and recovery youth sector. There'll be a new episode every Thursday. In these episodes, we will be talking about drug and alcohol misuse, suicide, sexual abuse, and some other heavy topics. So please take care when listening. Welcome back to This Is Powerful with me, Paul Scolfo. Today we have a really great young guy called Jack, who's from Dagenham. He's in the building maintenance industry, has around a year's recovery, which is very young, but he has an incredible story. He's very brave and descriptive about where his addiction led him, which is a pretty dark place and you must listen to it, to where he is now, helping other people and doing very well in recovery. Jack, welcome to This Is Powerful.
Thanks for having me on, mate.
Mate, thanks for coming. Much appreciated it.
No worries.
This is our young person series, so we're doing a group of young stuff. So, I got put in touch with you and love to hear your story, mate. Where did it all start? Where are you from?
I grew up in Dagenham, Essex. Yeah.
Do you think it's Essex or London? This is a trick question because I have a debate all the time about those people.
Now it comes under London, doesn't it? But I think Essex. So.
It's funny, isn't it? Because my dad used to say that Canning Town was Essex. And I'm like, it's clearly London.
That's...
But it used to be. It used to have no postcode.
Yeah.
So he was quite right about that.
Yeah.
How was your upbringing, mate?
Yeah, it was quite chaotic from a young age. My dad was an alcoholic. And yeah, it was tough because it was me, my younger brother, and say on a Friday, it'd be we'd come home from school and my mum would pick me up and she'd just have this, you know, you get your feeling of someone something's wrong.
Yeah.
On a Friday, it'd always be on a Friday as well. And then I sort of knew. And then it got to the point come home, have dinner. We go, where's dad? He go, he's down the pub. And then she was just fuming all the time.
Mm.
And it was just, yeah, it was he'd come home. It made a fuss. It was just chaotic, they was arguing and then I'm trying to sleep but I couldn't sleep and and that happened for years through my childhood and that. But
was that mostly on weekends?
Mostly on a Friday. Yeah.
That was probably like half a day at the time.
Yeah, it was. But yeah, mostly on a Friday, but it could be, you know how it goes. It could be Wednesday, yeah. It could be Saturday.
So you saw drinking early on, basically, in your life?
Yeah, I was always around it.
Yeah.
From a young age.
Because when I saw it when I was younger, I hated it. I hated what I saw it do to people.
Yeah.
All the people that I loved or was around. I genuinely hated it. Yeah. I like that the beginning was always fun because we was down pubs a lot when I was younger.
Yeah.
And there's always that conviviality and like fun stuff. But then it always go the other way.
Yeah, of course, always. Yeah. Always turns.
I used to say that I wouldn't drink when I was older. What was your opinion about it?
It's funny because I see what it did to my dad and how it made him, like how it made him, and like he always used to be angry and just like once he started he couldn't stop, and that was how it got for me in the end. But I always wanted to do it.
Did you?
Yeah, I always wanted to do it. Like,
what was the attraction?
I don't know. Like, just people laughing. Like when they're having a beer, the pub's all laughing. They're all happy. Like. I think they're having fun. I thought it's normal. All the time, I thought like, my dad does it. Everyone around me does it. So I'm thinking, why wouldn't I do it? And it was like that from a young age.
Did your dad ever say to you like, you shouldn't drink or it's not a good thing?
It's funny you say that because I got to about 13, maybe 14. And I'd have a beer. And even if he was drinking, like he would never ever give me a beer, ever. Because I feel like deep down he knew how it made him and what he'd done and whatever else. But so, like, say me and like, we'd be at football and that, and then his mate would go, I'll get you a beer. And he'd be well against it. No, don't give him a beer. He's going to end up like me. So he sort of knew, like,
yeah.
And it was like he was just against it. Like, he said, "Don't give him a beer. Don't, like, from a young age, he was like, don't try a drug. Don't, like, just don't."
So weirdly, he cares about you, even though he's got his own thing.
Yeah.
How did it affect your schooling? Because I had some sleepless nights with the stuff going on from either neighbours arguing or in the house, and I think it really affects you as a kid. Did that affect your schooling?
It did. Like, I wasn't ever. I always used to put on that mask, and just that, nothing happened. It was like that for my whole life. It was always like nothing had ever happened. It was all bottled up in there, and then, like, it didn't really affect my.
Like, the show must go on.
That's it.
Everything stays in the house.
Literally that. But I wouldn't say it's affecting my school. I wasn't that. Like, I was a good kid in school, but like reading, writing, I wasn't interested. Stare out the window, one of them ones. Like,
do you think that's because you had other stuff going on, or you just wanted to be a soccer player or something different?
Maybe. Of course, it impacted me, but just one of them, swallow it and carry on, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very East End of you, or Essexy of you.
Yeah.
What? And did you do any sports or anything like that?
I did. I played football when I was younger. Probably stopped about when I was 14, 15. And I left school, went into boxing. Really enjoyed that. Really
good.
Yeah.
Where did you box?
Dagenham Heathway.
So it's the first place I boxed.
Oh, was it? That's mad.
Is it still by that pond? There used to be a pond next to it, like a little...
No, it's like upstairs. You know, like, you got the row of shops.
Yeah.
And then it's just upstairs. Like, it's
okay.
Yeah. Maybe a bit different.
Yeah.
But
and how did you get on boxing?
It's all right. Never had no fights or anything like that. Just trained, bit of sparring and that. And then
Was you drinking at that point?
Yeah. I was probably just started drinking at 14. Like, I go to maybe an house party. I say to my mum, like, oh, can I just get like pack of four or whatever? And she go, all right, like. But my dad, like, hated it. Like, he just like, why, like. And it was all right, like, I'd have a few drinks and then I'd be able to talk, like, because I was so, like, shy and just sort of, not insecure, but just quiet and just, like, I was very in myself from a young age.
Yeah.
But I'd have a beer and then it just like everything sort of relaxed, and then I'd come out and yeah, I'd be able to talk to people.
Did you know that then that you was like introverted, or did you, is that in hindsight?
I thought I knew. Yeah, because I always knew like there's something missing, you know, like just very, like they say, the hole in the soul. It was something, there was just something missing and I just couldn't put my finger on it. But then, like, I'd have a few drinks and I think, this is what I've been missing. But it weren't like that, and that's a delusion of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
That's the thing, I think everyone, or most people we spoke to on here that have had alcohol or drug problems, always talk about a hole in the soul or feeling less than or just different. And then when they get the relief from the booze comes the answer, not the actual relief, right?
That's it, yeah. Just suppressing the problem, isn't it?
Yeah. And did you take drugs as well?
I did. I never done anything when I was a kid, but 16, you're a kid, aren't you? But yeah, got to 16, left school. At a house party. And then my mate got kicked out from school. And he was like, all my friends, like he started smoking a bit of weed, and all my pals do ketamine. And I was like, never even heard of it. I didn't even know what it was. I was like, oh, I'm going to get some, not even thinking what it could do to me, what's going to happen, I'm going to get some. Got that. So 16, I was on ketamine from an early age, drinking, obviously.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because when I was younger, it was speed, everyone was on speed.
Ah, okay.
Ketamine was not a thing.
Yeah.
But it's interesting about reaction, isn't it? Because I wonder how many young people are out there go, oh, fine, I'll have some,
yeah,
I'll try it.
Yeah.
And then they jump into a problem.
Mad.
How was it when you first took it?
It just made me feel more pissed, like more drunk. Like it just didn't. It got worse as like I probably had a couple of keys of it and then that was it. Like threw the rest away or something. But as it progressed on, I was doing lines of it, and someone always told me, they said just do it little and often.
Yeah.
And I'd do a line of it, and I drank with it as well. And a lot of people just drink water with it.
Yeah.
And I drank with it, and it just made me feel like not even there.
Yeah.
Just like I weren't even there. I'd be on the floor, and I couldn't get up. Like my legs were gone. Just anything. That's it. Yeah. Just like not lights were on, no one's there.
And did that? Is that what you was chasing? So you didn't feel anything?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And that's why I booze as well, because it just give me something. Like, I think, oh, I like this feeling that it's giving me. And then like it just sort of block it. Like I sort of forget everything. Like, and then yeah, I just progressed on from there.
At the moment, there's a massive pandemic of ketamine, isn't there? Especially in the UK.
Yeah, earlier and earlier. Yeah. And the damage it does to the body is horrific.
What is that? Is that is it literally, is that overtaking cocaine, do you think, ketamine?
1,000,000%. Really? I think, so my personal opinion, I think.
Is that because of the price as well, do you think?
Yeah, it's really cheap. Really,
how
really
much
cheap.
Is it?
I used to get it for £20 a gram.
Yeah, that's cheap, isn't it?
Yeah, that's how you think, score, pack of beers.
Yeah.
That's it, you're off and running.
And did you, when you're doing that, after a while, was anyone saying anything like, fucking hell, Jack's on the floor again, or like, come on, mate.
Yeah.
Like,
they
what just, are you doing?
Yeah, it was like, they sort of like, I thought they were laughing with me, they were laughing at me.
Yeah.
And then I was like, this is what he does. Like, oh, he's at it again, like, yeah, just, this is what he does. Like, yeah. And that's what it was for a very long time. Like,
did your parents know about it at all?
No. It's funny you say that, because we was on a train on the way up to football and I showed my dad a message about something, and then I clicked off it and then he was like, who's that? And it was a message from a drug dealer.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck. Like, and I blamed it on someone else. I was like, yeah, it was this, that, and that. Like, just straight up liar, straight away. But that, and that's what it was. But no, they didn't. They didn't know. Yeah.
How long was you doing it for before it, you felt like it was being a bit of a problem?
Well, I've done that from 16 to 18. Well, I've done that from 16 to 17, then lockdown came.
Yeah, of course,
and then I was off it. I'd never bring it in the ass. I'd never, because by this time my dad's in recovery, I'd just never, just wouldn't bring it in the ass. I wouldn't.
So you knew about recovery?
Yeah, I'd knew by this time. He sort of started going into recovery and started changing.
How was that change in the house for you?
Yeah, my mum was more happier. She was, more like he started doing a bit, like, not that he'd never done anything for us.
Yeah.
Like, he's always there for us and that, but it was just, it started being a bit nicer. And just, yeah, it was just a nice environment because my mum was never worried what time he's going to come home or what mood he's going to, do you know what I mean? Like, and then, yeah, it sort of changed it for me, but I was, sort of got resentful towards him because I was like, because my mum sort of just went like, God, like, I got my husband back.
Yeah.
And rightly she should, because he's been missing for 20 years or whatever he'd done it for. And yeah, I sort of got resentful towards him. And then, but like, by this time COVID happened and then you start drinking in the pubs again.
Can I ask you why, what the resentment was? Because it's important for people to understand, because when you're younger, it's hard to manage emotions and feelings and thought processes, and a lot of people don't understand what a resentment is and how it works.
Yeah, it was just like it was, I held a grudge towards him, like now he's changed, like my mum's going not more towards him, but just being normal. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, they're having a good relationship. The house is more calm.
So, and like, then, a big change, basically.
Yeah, it was a big change for everyone, like, because, like, I never believed he'd stop. Never. Yeah. Like, he couldn't stop for us. He couldn't stop for, like, anyone once before come in, do you know what I mean? And then that was, yeah, that just progressed on for a while. And then when I was 18, I turned 18 in lockdown, and then they started opening the pubs up again. And I'll never forget, went to the pub, drinking in a beer garden, weren't allowed inside. And everyone was like, oh, we'll get a bit of gear. So, do you want any? I'd had a few beers by then. I was like, yeah, all right. And then as soon as I tried that, that just changed me. Like, it was like, wow, like, this is what I've been missing. That done for me, but no one else could do.
So this Coke, right?
Yeah, this is Coke.
So that precedented everything else.
Like that, yeah, that just, yeah, as soon as I tried that, that was where it sort of become a problem for me.
So how after the first, if you have such a reaction to stuff, to gear like that, which a lot of people talk about, right?
Yeah.
And then you start chasing that first time, didn't you? Yeah. How was it after that? How did it progress your use for?
It just, perhaps? I'd never feel how I first done when I first done it. I'd never felt that again. Man, I used like 3 or 4 years after that. Never felt the same feeling.
That's a great illusion.
It is. It's mad. And then I never thought it was a problem. I'd always justify it, like, because my girlfriend at the time, like, I'd do it, and she was like, the difference is mental. Like, I'd be out in the bar buying other people drinks while she's sitting there in the chair. Like, it's madness. Like, and if my pal done it and I done it, you could tell who's done it, and you wouldn't know they're on it, because they don't change.
Yes, you react completely different.
I react completely different.
Yeah.
And that's with a beer, that's with a bit of gear, a bit of care, anything.
Do you think that qualifies someone as an addict? Because, you know, in that world, when you talk about it, it's like you feel less than, you feel different, you feel quite suppressed and stuff like that. And then when you get that feeling, but most people, like, if they have a glass of wine, they just have a glass of wine, that's it.
Mm.
But we feel completely different, right?
It just made me feel how I thought I wanted to feel.
Mm.
And that's the insanity of it. Like, just give me the just, yeah. And then once I tried coke, I couldn't stop. I was like, this is what I've been missing for so many years.
Yeah.
And then I just the usage went up.
Was you back at work then?
Yeah, I was back at work. Yeah, I'd never used at work. Maybe I could always wait till after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the funny thing, isn't it? I was always good at work. I'd always turn up and show up and do my stuff, but then it was after. And I know there's a myth about an addict or an alcoholic that they use all the time and they can't not stop.
Yeah.
But that's not true, is it?
No, I could stop. And it was only once or twice a week at most. And I was never every single day. And towards the end, I was never every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could always go to work. I'd always function. I thought I could anyway.
Yeah. You're there, but you're not there.
Yeah, this is it. But I could always go to work. Like, and it's mad. I tried to stop it when I was probably about 18, 19 at the time, maybe 20. I tried to stop because my girlfriend had just had enough. Like she told my dad what I was up to.
Oh,
like, right. Yeah, I was just never.
How did that go down?
It was all right. He was kind of all right about it. And he was like, do you think you need a meeting? I was like, no, I'll be able to do it on my own. Because I was always justified, like, because it'd be out for maybe 24 hours. And I could always be home 1, 2 o'clock.
Mm.
So I thought, I could still, and he'd never go to work. Like, he'd be off for 2-3 days. And I always could. I could always get up for work. Maybe midweek would, I'd have a little session with my mates and then I could go work. Like, nothing happened.
That's the thing though, isn't it? When you're still turning up for work and stuff that you're doing, then you generally believe you're all right.
Yeah, you're trying to justify it all the time. But I tried to stop and I did for about 6 months. Felt amazing.
Just cold turkey?
Cold turkey, just stopped. I thought, yeah, I've cracked this. Still going to the pub, watching a bit of football and that, but...
Was that literally because your girlfriend at the time said...
Yeah, she just had enough of the way I was. Like, started coming out later nights, 4 or 5 in the morning. And yeah, it just, like, I was just a different person. It changed me.
Hmm.
And like, she thought, she was like, are you putting that on? Because like, my jaw would be screening, my hand would be bent up. Like, she was like, are you putting it on? I said, no, yeah. Like, this is just how it's making me feel.
So it's gone from talking to everyone, buying everyone drinks to now.
Yeah. Just nothing. Like, yeah, she was like, you got, like, me or that.
Mm.
And I was like, no, I want to be with her. And I genuinely believed I could do it. And then I was working with a couple of mates at the time, and I went to the pub. And he didn't know I stopped. It was only a couple of my close mates I told.
Yeah.
And he went, yeah, have some of that. And then the, you know, that gut feeling, I was like, I don't want to do it. Like, but I didn't have the gut to say no. Like, didn't have to say no, I'm not doing it.
That's peer pressure though,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, just like, he didn't know.
Yeah.
And that's the mad thing. Like, just, he was like, yeah, go on, like, have some of that. And I'm dealing on my way again. It's sad. I didn't have to say no. I'm not doing it.
It's like having courage to say anything in case you're being judged of, oh, you're not one of us
this
anymore.
Is it.
Or you're
Yeah, it's absolute madness.
Yeah, it's that. This is the whole thing about peer pressure. There's a couple of times I remember for myself when I wanted to stop, and I knew I didn't want to do it, and I just did it anyway.
Mm.
So I chose to give away all my power to someone else. To please them, even though I was just about to wreck my life.
Yeah.
Makes no sense, mate.
Madness, mate.
That in itself tells you how strong addiction is.
Strong, powerful.
Yeah. Hi, it's Paul here. I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you and to say if you've heard something on the show that's moved you, please follow, rate or review the show, and it'd be amazing if you could share it. Now back to the show. And what happened after that?
I kept it a secret. I was down a pub with my normal group of mates, my close mates. And I got a bit, and they was like, what are you doing? You don't do that. And I was like, I've done it for like a couple months ago with my mates, just keep it quiet, keep it from her sort of thing. And they did. Like, I had two or three mates that knew. And I dry sniffed with it as well. And yeah, I thought she ain't gonna smell the booze on me, so I'll just dry sniff it.
Mm.
like she'll have a less of a chance of finding out. I'll do with me drugs. I by this point I'm driving as well. I'll drive so like the delusion of thought, like if the police pull me over, they ain't gonna know because they ain't gonna smell breath on me, alcohol on my breath, like insane. Like if they were to pull me over, they would definitely know. Insane, like yeah. My eyes were big, like I was all jittery and. Yeah, that's like madness, and I got away with it for a while. That she knew. Fast forward about 18 months, she knew something was up. Like something weren't right, and I was staying out a bit longer. I was, by this point, the late nights are coming back. I'm doing it three, four times a week now. Mm. I haven't got no money to take a Nando's, but I've got money to spunk on gear. Just. All this, like, and she don't know, like, I'm having a bet, like, all this stuff comes in, but she just can't put her finger on it, because she's got no proof and no evidence. And yeah, just I kept it from everyone.
It's funny, isn't it, how cunning you can be.
It is.
To pre-plan that, to make sense as well, you know, if I don't do that, I won't get caught out, if I don't say that.
Yeah.
But then that wears out.
It does, yeah. Yeah, and the shield and the it started letting go, like stuff was noticeable towards the end, very noticeable.
What happened with you and her?
I never knew that she would like leave me. I thought like I've got to wear one. I buy the nice stuff that keep her quiet for a minute. All she wanted was for me to be there for her. That's all she ever wanted. And I never was. I was always in the future. I was always in like, the past. I was always in like, just, I was full fright from reality. I really was. And yeah, I'd never believed she'd split on me, but she was planning to, but she just didn't know how. And I was, by this point, I'm back on a booze. Probably 4 months before I stopped using. That was the worst for me. That just took off. The using was out of control. The drinking was out of control. The gambling was out of control. And I just didn't care. I just didn't care about anyone. How it was making her feel. The damage I was doing to myself. I just didn't care.
Do you remember that time when that changed? Because that's like just going straight into full-blown addiction, isn't it?
Yeah, that was... It's when I picked up the alcohol again. That's when it sort of changed for me. Because I sort of like, I never thought I had an alcohol problem. I always thought it was the drugs. But that's where I started. And that's like, as soon as I picked up I tell you what, it's funny, I walked past a pub earlier that I first fully drunk again. I was going to football. I was in that pub, it's about 5 minutes from here. I was in that pub. And I had a beer and then, yeah, I was off. I can't have one. Never had one. And as soon as I had that one, like, the Barrett, it lets down for me because when I was dry sniffing, I'd just be paranoid. I think like, I'd been a little bit of psychosis and I think everyone's like after me and people in the pub are looking at me and that, and I think, like, I've got to get out of here. And my mate's like, no, you're just paranoid. Like, but the feeling that I got, like, I'll just stand on the fruit machine all night.
Yeah. But well, you just stood there to do that.
Yeah, just stand at the fruit machine. Like, I was too paranoid. Someone would ask me a question, I'd go, I'd just walk off.
Yeah.
Like, just mad. And I'm paying for the privilege.
Well, it's mad because what it sounds like, what it gave you in the beginning,
yeah.
If I took it completely all away.
It's gone. Yeah. What it gave me in the beginning, I never got back. Never. I was always chasing it. And then as soon as I picked up the alcohol, again, that all bets are off. That's when it started getting I always had a problem, but that's when it was getting a real problem for me.
Yeah. Was you still doing ketamine at the same time?
I'd do it. I'd go to a festival. I'd never do coke at a festival. And if I was at a festival,
too many people.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
No
yeah.
fruit machines.
Yeah, that's it. I'd end up running.
Where's the corner?
That's it. But yeah, and that was the only drug that made me paranoid was coke.
Yeah.
It was alright. Just made me a bit drunk. made my legs feel proper jelly. But I would, yeah, I'd use Ket at festivals and raves. And yeah, like if someone had it, I'd do it. And I'd use it in a pub a couple of times, but it was, yeah, other than that, it sort of just went to the side because Coke was my master.
Yeah.
And it gave me what I thought that I was missing.
And where did that go, Jack?
Yeah, I dug myself a really, really deep hole. I was in loads of debt. I was gambling, I was drinking, and I was just, I didn't care about my missus, I didn't care about my family, I didn't care about myself. And it just, yeah, I was just, I was never there, never there. And this, by this time, it's 3-4 times a week now, where it had gone from the Saturday, one, like Saturday, maybe Friday or Saturday, to Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, then a Saturday night. And it got dark, like, it was really dark. I went to this rave the night before. I went to this rave. And this week before I stopped, this was the most I'd ever used. And then went to this rave, like, on it, smashed myself to bits. And then my alarm went off. I was working the next day, which was a Sunday, and my alarm went off. And I said to my girlfriend, I said, I ain't going in. I feel I've had about an hour of sleep. I'm not going in. She was like, no, you're going in. Because like, she just had enough at this point. I was like, oh, go in. Anyway, driving to the... So I was working at... I was working outside Chancery Lane Station in a building there. A little bit of overtime as I do now and again. And I called for my girlfriend. She'd found out I'd been using again. And she's like, you look like using again. And blind, like, I'm just saying, nah. Whatever. Off the phone to her, get to work about 8:30. I said to my supervisor, who I work with now, I said, I'm going to get a drink. Do you want one? And he was like, nah, I'm good. And what I believe was to go down to the steps of Chancery Lane Station and go jump. That was my, what I believe. I thought, I don't remember, but that's what I believe. And I come back up. And it's very, very blackout for me. I can't really remember much. But and then I asked my supervisor again, do you want a drink? But not knowing that I've just asked him that. Yeah. And he sort of looked like, what's the matter with him? Like, and he was like, no. And then 5 days later, I wake up in hospital. Looking around. How the fuck did I get here? How did I get here? And I'm saying to my girlfriend and that, and then I'm like, what am I doing here? I knew where I was, but I just did not have a clue. And then the people come around, they was like, you know why you're in here? I said, no. They said, you jumped in front of the central line.
Back at Chancery Lane?
Yeah, at Chancery Lane. I said, no. I said, no, I didn't. They said, we did. We've seen the footage. The police have seen the footage. And you've done it.
Wow.
And that was sort of the turning point for me. I thought, fuck, like, that's where my using took me from starting ketamine at 16 to 21 when I'd done it. 5 years. That's what it took.
So do you remember... So you don't remember anything from saying...
All I remember...
Or seeing the steps to go to jump.
All I remember is escalators. Going down the escalators. I don't remember how I was feeling. I don't remember. Just that. That's just... I've got a vision of me being on my phone.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't remember a thing.
You're lucky. So you did actually go in front of the train?
Yeah, I jumped. I'm lucky. Very lucky.
Did you get any damage and injuries?
Yeah. It was quite a bit... inside, I broke my sternum, I broke a couple of my ribs, I punched in my lungs.
Wow.
Blood was coming out of my mouth. I had a lump of wood stuck in my wet leg.
Bloody hell.
I got permanent brain damage as well.
And I had a bleed on the brain. So you would have no fucking idea.
No, but it's more if you know me like that. Like I've changed as a person as well a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like my girlfriend, like, if you know me.
Because when you said you woke up in hospital and he was told that, I just envisioned you as you are, not with a punctured lung and...
Yeah, blimey. I had chest drains coming out the side of my wrist with obviously draining the blood for a few days. Hell. Yeah, broken a few bones, smashed a few of my teeth as well.
When you...
Broke me scapulars as well. Yeah, quite a bit. But not as bad as it should have been.
Fuck, it's crazy, isn't it, where addiction takes you.
Yeah, and I never believed it would take me there.
Yeah.
I always wished I died towards the end of my using. I always wished that I'd never wake up because I just hated the way I was living my life. But I just couldn't stop. And I never had the guts to do what I'd done, but obviously I did.
It's such an important conversation because there's the whole romantic idea and even like mates saying, oh, this is how he is.
Yeah, this is how he is.
And people don't know what's going on the inside, right? And it's always glamorised in movies of partying and stuff, but addiction does slowly kill you.
It does, yeah. It
takes away absolutely everything that you...
Took away everything.
It gave you in the beginning, right? Sorry about that, mate.
No, you're right, mate. It's good. I don't mind sharing it.
How, after you woke up and your family there and you're talking about it, it must have been very hard to grasp that that's the reality of what happened, right?
It was hard for a... It's still... Hard now, I still play it in my head, like, how did it get to that point?
Yeah.
Like, I come out of hospital, spent a month in hospital, I come out, and it was just a blur, I didn't really know, I knew what happened, but I never, and as a month's gone, I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, mad.
It must be so surreal.
It's mad. Like, how am I even alive? And do you know what I mean? Like, all these factors. I thank God for the London Air Ambulance because doing what they've done to me because they saved me.
Is that what I put you on?
Yeah. That was a...
We're lucky we've got some good services in this country.
Yeah. And I used to moan about the care as well when Royal London Hospital, where I was at, was unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. I used to my NHS, jump on it, you know what I mean? I jump on the bandwagon. Like, I didn't know anything like...
No, and then you experience it and you realise how amazing these people are.
Yeah. Amazing.
God, your dad must have been floored by that, where it got to. I mean, everyone, really.
Yeah, everyone. The knock-on effect it's had on the family and my girlfriend's family and just... Everyone, the people at work, like just the knock-on effect. Like
people say stuff in life. I wish I was dead, or I wish this, but it's a different gravy train when you actually do something.
Totally different. Yeah.
How was the process after the first month of coming back into life?
It was weird. Yeah, it was just. Yeah, it was. It was just. Yeah, it was just mad. I was in the hospital and my dad was like, do you think you need a meeting? Like, the meeting's there if you need them. And I think, well, yeah, I obviously do.
Yeah.
Because, taking it to where it took me, never in a million years. And I think I'd always say, I never wanted to be here and all that. I'd always say that, but I never had to, you know what I mean? I was all ego, I was all front,
Words are different than actions.
Yeah, of course. And I was always that egotistic man that always said the right stuff and said what he was going to do, but never
had a good shot for him.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
but weren't selling
that's
the goods.
It, yeah.
So, So when did you go to your first meeting?
It was probably a couple of weeks after I come out of hospital, because obviously I was all right to walk and stuff like that.
Did you have a teeth missing here? And
Yeah. I lost, not lost, but a few of my teeth were chipped, I think eight. four on the bottom, two on the top. And they were still missing when I went to the meeting. I'm thinking, like, I'm like, because I care what people think about me all the time. Like, and I think, oh, like, I could do without this. Like, people, like, trying to talk, and I'm talking like that. Like, and my dad's like, oh, what? Like, why don't you share? I'm like, because my teeth. And I got my teeth sorted, and he's like, you're going to share? And then, like, Joey, just all the excuses. But, yeah, I went to my first meeting in YMCA Romford. It's not shut down now.
Is it?
But yeah, yeah, they've moved it. But went there. Everyone in that room said to my dad, how's your boy? And he went, he's there. And they was like, oh, like, and someone said to me, you know this for life now. And I was like, yeah. And just someone done a chair. And I think he was, I'm quite young, so he was quite a bit older than me.
How old are you now?
22. And I never related so much to one person. Never, like, I was like, wow. He was gambling, he was drinking, he was lying. He was, everything that I was doing, he done. And he was talking about, like, sort of that, like, the front, the ego, the pride. Like, my ego nearly killed me. That's what, like, holding all that stuff in from a kid, like, just not saying anything. I'm right, I was dying inside. But yeah, got to my first meeting, I put, because obviously I got a few chips, because when I was in hospital, like 30 days, it was 60 days, and then like got my chips and that, and then everyone was so welcoming, like giving me a cuddle and that, like got, made me a tea. I was like, wow, like proper nice people, just like, just down to earth normal people.
Did you have an opposing view before that?
Yeah, I used to say they're all mad. Because I went to a meeting, like, to support my dad, like, if he was doing a chair or whatever.
Gotcha.
And I'd say, always look at the differences, funny enough. And then, I'd go, I'm nowhere near as bad as him. And then, like, I'd always refer back to my dad, like, he'd go out, wouldn't come home, then he could turn up at whatever time. Always trying to justify it. Yeah, I'm not bad as him though. And look where I ended up. I mean, 5 years.
It's really important to say that because the inside is different from the outside, isn't it? And we can judge someone that seems to be worse than us, or their behaviour is different from ours, but it's the inside.
Inside. And I try to, like, do it with the trainers, the jacket, all these internal stuff, the watch. I had a few different jobs. That's the job. Me and I thought the drinking the drugs were the problem. I always thought it was a problem, but it's me and the way I think. Like, my thinking's not like a normal person. I don't think like a normal person, and to do what I've done, of course, like, there is a problem there.
Yeah,
a massive problem.
So did you feel at home then from that first chair and that meeting?
Yeah, I felt like just like ease and comfort, sort of like what the alcohol gave me. I was like, God, like,
just like liberated.
Yeah, just like-minded people, just people I can relate to, like, and people get how I'm feeling, and like get what I've done, and it was just nice.
It's really important, isn't it? Because guys. Generally, I'm generalising, around the world, I said not to talk, you're not supposed to show your feelings, anything like that, but it does so much damage. Obviously, you can't walk down the pub and say, I'm feeling vulnerable, lads, like, give me a hug. But there's a place and a time to speak about it, right? Because it just drives you to do what you did.
This is it. And people might watch and say, oh, I'll never do that. I never believe I'd do it. Yeah. Never.
I remember doing a chair once, and I spoke about psychosis and paranoia. And the guy come up to me and he went, listen, mate, he said, I appreciate what you said. It's never going to happen to me. That guy's doing a hell of a long sentence now. And he used to phone a friend of mine 2-3 o'clock in the morning and peel £50 notes apart because he thought there was a microphone in the £50 notes. That's how far he got.
Yeah, got there.
You know, because that's the thing. We always think it's never going to happen. What damage did you do for your brain? Is it permanent?
Permanent, yeah. And I had a bleed on the brain as well. But lucky that when I was in a coma for 5 days. That just got sucked up with I had a bolt in my head to check the pressure on my brain. Yeah, they didn't know if I was going to be brain dead or not from the impact.
Blimey.
So, yeah, a lot around my head.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Do you know personally that how it's affected you?
Yeah, it's changed my life. Yeah, it has changed my life, definitely. But I wouldn't change it because it's who I am now, do you know what I mean? Like, before, like, my ego, I would have probably, like, took the piss out of someone, do you know what I mean? Like, just... I look at him, like, yeah, it's changed my life completely.
Is it? But, is there anything you can't do now because of it, or just a different
ways? Yeah, just different ways of doing things. The way I speak's a bit different. Tad different, but it's not like very tired, very fatigued. Sometimes, some days are better than others, obviously.
People always said it in my company.
Yeah.
After but, 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's it. But, yeah, that like is like you said, like you wouldn't have known.
Yeah.
Like, but like if you know me, like my family can see the difference. You know what I mean? But it's not like I'm not restricted to what I can and can't do.
Yeah. So now you're in recovery.
Mm.
What's changed for people who don't understand what recovery is, and maybe they're scared of sorting help out, or they're scared of like stopping using or change. What's been the upsides?
It's given me a life back, a life that I didn't have because I ain't living what I was doing before. I thought I was. Like my girlfriend would ring me at 5 a.m. What are you doing? I'm just living my life. No, I weren't. I hate it. I knew what I was doing was wrong. I just couldn't stop. And I regretted it. As soon as I come around, I hated it. I just hated the way I was feeling, just massive headache in the morning. I just don't want to feel like this.
Mm.
But just what it's given me now, it's given me the ability to sit here and talk to you. Like, I wouldn't be able to do that before. Like, I wouldn't be able to sit still. Like, and that's what it's given me. Like, I can talk to people. I can try and help people.
Mm.
And I could be honest. Nah. Being honest was the best thing I've ever done.
Mm.
Being honest with myself and being honest with other people. And being honest with a person that I can trust. That was the turning point for me. Because getting all that stuff up from a kid and all what I've done and all the people that I've hurt. You know what I mean? Because I thought it was everyone else's fault before. And all the fact I was the main problem. I was, and that was it. Like, I was the main cause of everything.
It's incredible that someone can learn that from themselves, because alcoholism and addiction is so selfish, it's so self-centred, isn't it? Because really, you're on survival mode just to get through the day and get through the day and get through the day. And then our brains can tell us, you know, but we're all right, and this is what we're doing. It's incredible to have such a psychic change, right? To see the reality of stuff.
Complete psychic change, yeah. Yeah, it's given me just a normal life.
Yeah.
And a life worth living.
Yeah.
Today, you know what I mean? Like, I've got a peace of mind, I can be there for my girlfriend. Like, it sounds mad, like, I can be there and sit there and just do normal things. Like, I couldn't do that before. I'd be like, as soon as I get in from work, she'd be like, do you want to do this? Nah, I'm going to the pub to watch the snooker. Like, mad, like, just all the excuses. And, when I knew I was going out, I just, drop my bag off, get changed and go.
Yeah.
No time for her, just so selfish and self-centred, all cared about myself.
How is she now with it? How is she now with you? Does she give you a hard time at all?
Nah, she... Yeah, she's good. But she was lying in bed the other day and she was like, this is all I ever wanted. And I bought her the bags of things and all that don't matter.
Yeah.
It means nothing. All she wanted was me to be there for her. And now I can do that.
That's really powerful.
Yeah. And I can sit there and listen to what she's got, like, how she's feeling. Because before, like, she'd tell me, she'd be like, oh, like, the bit about this, yeah, but my dad told me to do the washing up, do you know what I mean? And then, like, that's, and I get annoyed about that. Like, things I used to say, like, yeah, you don't know what my dad said to me 10 years ago. Like, just full flight from reality, madness.
Yeah.
Mad. Like, no time for it, like, no turn to hear what she had to say whatsoever. And now I can just sit there and listen and be there for her.
It's lovely she can say such a simple sentence. It's actually profound underneath, right?
Mm.
Do you see you just staying in recovery now and helping other people?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah?
Yeah. I haven't looked back in recovery. It's the best thing I've ever done. Getting on this, getting sober. To be sober as well, like, at, like, 22. That's amazing.
That is amazing.
For me, like, just... I can't say that it was all bad. Like, I had some good times doing it, but it was very, very minimal. And the lying, like, trying to keep the lying and all that upkeep, that's hard work.
Yeah.
Like, lying to my girlfriend, I'm out at 5 a.m, but I'm saying I'm not doing drugs. Like, and all that, like, it's just horrible.
Yeah.
And to be free of that is the best thing I've ever done.
Yeah, it's amazing, mate. For someone who is struggling at the moment, who can't give up the gear or drink or something, what advice would you give them?
To have a bit of hope. Have a bit of hope. Have a bit of faith, like, just a little bit of saying. Because, like, there is hope. Like, if I can do it, like, because I couldn't stop for that. I couldn't get a week. I was never an everyday user, but I couldn't get a week clean in the end.
Mm.
And just try and be honest with yourself. Because, like, I believe what, in the end for me, I knew what I was doing was wrong. And if you believe that, then just pick up the phone. Like, just if you know someone that's in recovery or know someone that's well, or just be honest. Like, everything for me had to come out from the age of 2 to however old, like 22 now. All that had to come out, and it just freed me up. It freed me, like, all the resentment and anger for what? All it had an effect on was me, like, and the way I was feeling. And I got that out, and I just feel free.
And Jack, thank you very much, mate.
No worries, mate.
This is Powerful is brought to you by Stride Foundation, which educates children about addiction through school talks and provides some basic support for those struggling with addiction. To find out more what we do, please head over to www.stridefoundation.com. You can also donate. Please donate. It will help us to break the stigma of addiction. It will help us to educate more young people. And it will allow us to bring you more episodes. Thank you. See you next time.